This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Who have we got now as our guest, Tess?
Well, before we move on, just to acknowledge that we're getting some great feedback from listeners. Somebody's just written in and said, thanks so much for the articulate responses, everyone. I think they really mean Mark, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
They definitely don't mean Macca. Not you, Tess.
Not me.
So, Macca, in case you didn't know, there's a state election coming up.
No shit.
In case you didn't know, in just over 20 days, maybe 21 days' time.
Yep.
24th
of October. Oh, my God. I better think about who I'm going to vote for.
There you go. So, in thinking about that, a number of our community organisations have gotten together and pulled together essentially a priorities document. And leading that document was Simon Ruth from Thorn Harbour Health. We have Simon Ruth, who's the Chief Executive of Thorn Harbour Health, and for those who don't know, formerly it was called the Victorian AIDS Council.
Gay Men's Health Centre.
Gay Men's Health Centre, there you go. Good morning, Simon.
Morning, Tess. Morning, Macca.
Great to have you in the on the airwaves this morning.
And we also have Mark Hawthorne, who's the Fairfax publisher in Victoria.
Oh, g'day, Mark.
G'day. So, Simon, tell us, what are the top two or three asks that your coalition has pulled together and are lobbying government for? The next government, I should say.
The next government, yeah. So the coalition is ourselves, formerly the Victorian AIDS Council, now Thorn Harbour Health, plus Living Positive Victoria, which is the peak organisation for people living with HIV and positive women Victoria, Australia's only organisation for women living with HIV. There are 27 asks in this document. We have it broken down into questions about prevention, particularly around PrEP and Medicare ineligible people and you know, how do we prevent a contagious disease when there's significant parts of the community who don't have access to all the prevention opportunities? How do we support people living with HIV and particularly around managing stigma in the community? We have got to a point in this epidemic where you can live well with HIV and it's not a death sentence and you are no longer contagious if we get you to an undetectable level. And how do we get that message out to the rest of the community who still think that this is about the Grim Reaper rolling a bowling ball, and knocking people down? And probably the other big one is sector capacity. We're encouraging everybody to get tested. We are at a point in the epidemic where if we could get everybody tested, we could virtually wipe out new infections with this disease. But we have a testing sector that was basically set up 20 years ago and is no longer able to manage the numbers that are coming through. Particularly Melbourne Sexual Health is just grossly underfunded and needs multiple sites to be developed, as has been done in other capitals around the country.
So, Simon, what would a testing centre of the future look like? How would it be different?
Well, I think there's a range for those of us who are at high risk of HIV, particularly gay and bisexual men and other men who have sex with men, and certain parts of the community, we would need a lot more rapid testing options. There's other ways that it's happening overseas. We can get people through quickly for people who need to test more often. But in Victoria, we have one sexual health centre that's run by the state, and that's Melbourne Sexual Health Centre. In Sydney, they have 27 sexual health centres.
Wow.
And their 27 have about just over two times the capacity of our one. So it's a city with not a lot more people than we have, yet they have double the capacity to do sexual health testing. Melbourne has doubled the number of people that they see in the last 10 years, and yet they've had really no extra funding or capacity to see those numbers. Then for those of us, the gay and bisexual men, most of our other testing sites are all within 4 to 5 kilometres of that facility as well. So if you drive up Punt Road, you're basically going from the Centre Clinic to Param Market to Sexual Health to Bronte to Northside. We're all within, 5 to 10 k's of each other. So for the people around the rest of the state, we really need to look at ways of getting testing out to them.
So are you saying there are no services in our regional centres like Geelong and Ballarat and Bendigo?
There's none that are targeting our community. So we don't have sexual health centres like Melbourne Sexual Health, and we don't have private GP clinics that have developed up to target our communities. What we do know is any GP can do a sexual health screen, but we also hear back, particularly from women, that when they go in for a sexual health screen, the GP says, well, you don't need HIV testing because you don't look like someone who would be at risk of HIV. So particularly for women who come through with HIV, they often say, I didn't get tested for years. My GP told me I didn't need it, so I didn't do it. And then they find out 10 years later that they've actually had HIV for that period. And we produced a video last year to go out to GPs, and we told Abby Landy's story. Abby's a Sydney activist who repeatedly asked for a HIV test, and her GP refused to give her one. And it took her a couple of years to discover that she had HIV, because they just said she was blonde and young and pretty, and they said, you're not a person at risk of HIV.
Jeez.
Simon, Mark here. Just a question of those 27 areas, or I think you call them 27 asks that you've put together ahead of the election. The two major parties, have they addressed any of them, some of them? How do the two stack up next to each other when you compare their policy positions?
Well, shouldn't we ask for three major parties?
Sorry, everyone.
So we did hold a forum when we launched this document, and we had Minister Hennessy there, Shadow Minister Mary Waldridge, Fiona Patten from Reason, and Nina Springall from the Greens, their health spokesperson. They had all had this document for about a week beforehand. Minister Hennessy has launched an HIV strategy for the state recently, and her commitments were largely around ensuring that she would roll out the strategy. Mary Waldridge committed to bringing...
Rolling out your strategy, is that what you're saying?
No, their strategy.
Right.
So there's a Victorian HIV strategy.
Right.
And she basically committed to following through with that. Mary Waldridge made a commitment to taking rapid testing on the road and putting significant funding into ensuring that we can get a rapid testing ban out into outer metro Melbourne and rural and regional areas. Plus, she committed to bringing the 95-95-95 target, which is 95% of people with HIV know that they're positive, 95% of them are on antiretroviral drugs, and 95% are undetectable. And we are close to that target anyway. It's only the first one that we're down on. We're near 95 on the second two, but she made a commitment to bringing that forward. The state strategy says 2030, and she said 2025, which is in our document. The Greens committed $5 million to a business case to looking at expanding sexual health, and Reason committed to attempting to decriminalise sex work. During the forum, there was also a question about spitting laws. We've seen this...
Spitting?
So South Australia, and then followed by Western Australia, the Northern Territory, Queensland, and then New South Wales is looking at it, all have laws where if a police officer claims you've spat at them, they can drag you in and force mandatory bloodborne virus testing on you. Now, there is no evidence base behind this at all. There is
no way that you can
get a bloodborne virus from being spat on. Personally, I think it's just a law to allow police to harass people that are giving them a hard time.
It sounds like it comes out of the early 1980s.
It does,
and it's running across the country, and there was a question from the floor about that from Paul Kidd, and all the parties said no, that they would not be looking at that if there's no evidence base, that they would never bring that in. So that was nice to hear, because I know that New South Wales is looking at that right now.
So in terms of, you know, of all the items that you've raised with them, Simon, do you have a... And I'm asking you, to endorse, who has responded most positively in terms of all those requests? Is there a, and are you going to share with the community closer to the election what the responses have been?
So as a charity, we're not allowed to endorse either of politics.
Yep.
And the federal government has brought down laws in the last year that are making that much harder for us to even influence. We're having to report right now to the Australian Electoral Commission about our campaigning work, and Matt Canavan did call for my organisation to be defunded during marriage equality.
Yes.
Because we took a position on the S vote. But we've been, Victoria has always benefited from strong bipartisan support. We've always had a lot of support from both sides of politics, which is one of the reasons that we're a world leader. Melbourne and Sydney both are probably in the top four or five cities in the world with looking at ending HIV and its impact on the community. And so I'll say that. With the LGBTI booklet, which is another one that we did where we had a call to the community, the rights lobby will actually be releasing...
Yeah, rainbow votes,
a public document saying how each party has responded to that document. We won't get the opportunity to do it with this one.
Right. We've actually had Dale Park in the studio to talk about rainbow votes. But we haven't actually... We didn't know about that particular initiative, so that sounds good.
Yeah.
We might follow that up, Macca.
Yes. So
we have sent this document out to every politician that's going out there now, and a number of the candidates if they have an interest in this area. And we would hope that this also sets out a map for the next 4 years for whoever's in government, and particularly things like Medicare ineligibles and COVID payments for people living with HIV. Mm. You know, they're things that we need to be looking at if we're serious about tackling HIV.
Good work. Good work. Thanks for your time, Simon. Really appreciate it. People, again, the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, their material, Rainbow Votes, covers a lot of these issues. But Simon, thanks for doing that work and asking the questions. It's going to be an interesting campaign, but for our community, there's some issues that are pretty front and centre, and this is one of them.
Absolutely.
Yep. If anyone wants to see the document, it's online, and we can mail you copies as well.
Great.
Okay.
So just get in touch with Thorn Harbour Health.
Great.
There you go.
Thank you very much for your
time.
Thank
you. That was Simon Ruth, the CEO of
Thorn Harbour Health.
Now,
it's just an observation, though. It is kind of sad that it's only at these times.
Yes.
25 or 20-odd days out from a state election and, 5 months out from a federal election, that organisations have that one chance to try and get something done.
Yes. And it's
you're absolutely right.
It's also a lot of the time when, you know, announcements are made.
Correct.
That, you know, are going to have, I suppose, potentially an impact. I don't think we're doing an election show this year, are we, Tass?
Well, we'll do something, Macca.
Like on the night, I won't be there. I'll actually be
there. I don't know about the night, but we'll certainly do something during the morning.
Oh, yes, we're going to speak to a number of commentators to do it. So coming up in the second hour, Mark... There you go. Simon was still listening in. Mark's going to be off to the GGs, but in the second hour, we've got
Thank you, Mark, for coming in. Thank you for your time. We look forward to having you again.
Before I go, can I just say one thing, though?
Yes, please do.
As you can imagine, at this time of year, I speak to a lot of politicians on all three sides of the House, a couple of independents too. I'm aware of what's happening with the Pride Centre, and I'm aware of Joy's new home.
But yes.
In particular, a couple of members of the state government have commended you two individually for the great work and lobbying that you two have done. So you should be very proud of that. And I think it has been noted that you two worked very hard to get that done. So kudos to you both.
Thank you. We enjoy
Mentioned in dispatches.
We enjoy being the quiet achievers, don't we, Macca?
That's right. Quick question about the horse racing.
Yes.
So where are you actually... Are you going into the cage? The bird cage, not my cage.
I will be watching...
I didn't think you were going to talk publicly about your cage.
I'm a guest of Racing Victoria.
Yep.
I'm heading along with James Chessel, who's executive editor. He's my peer, executive editor of The Age and Sydney Morning Herald. So we're both guests of Racing Victoria. We'll be watching from the terrace. And this afternoon we'll probably drop into the birdcage to do exactly what Tass said, have a little bit of a look at who's there. And, you know, we're journos, we're observers of people.
That's right.
It's in our nature. We'll have a look at who's there and watch.
Fantastic.
Well, Mark, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.